Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chase and Josh with Factor Fantasy. That's Chase. I'm Josh. We're here to move into the next sequence of episodes for season one of Demon Slayer here today. Last week, I took us through episodes 19, 20, and 21. This week, Chase is here to bring us through episodes 22, 23, and 24. We're winding down season one quickly here, folks. So, you know, stay tuned, buckle up, because it's about to get real fun. And before I let Chase run in and take these next few episodes here today, I'm going to let him say a few words, and then we'll get started.
We finally get to see the Hashira today, baby. You know, we've been teasing it for a while. We are finally there. We get to see some of the coolest motherfuckers I've ever seen. Yeah, man. Cheers. Let's get a Malice in the Chalice, and then I'll take us away.
Sounds like a plan, buddy.
Cheers, brother. So the episode starts, remember last week, where Tanjiro and Nezuko are taken to the Demon Slayer headquarters, and they're surrounded by Wisteria Blossoms when they're there. And just like we saw last week, at the very end, we see the nine Hashira, and here are the Hashira. So we have Tanganazui, badass motherfucker, the Sound Hashira. Ultra flashy. He's massive. He's big. He's got the crown on his head with the jewels and the earrings. Then you have Kyojuro Rengoku, one of my personal favorites. The Flame Hashira has like the orange and red hair with the samurai sword and the cape. And then you have Mitsuri Kanroji, who... we'll see a lot of her a lot later on in the future, but she has like the pink hair, and they're all very distinct and kind of like their characteristics, and she's the Love Hashira. And then you have Muichiro Tokido, who is the Mist Hashira, so he has like long hair with the bluish tips in a way. And you have, of course, Shinobu Kocho that we saw last week, the Insect Hashira. Obani Iguro, who is the snake serpent Hashira, and this one's fucking cool, man. He kind of looks like a clown in a way, like he's like short, but he's got these like clown pants with this like weird striped kind of kimono shirt, and then bandages over his mouth, and he like talks through the snake, and his sword is sick. It kind of looks like a snake. And then this guy that we're going to learn about today, I'm not a big fan of, Sanemi Shinazagawa, who is the Wind Hashira, who has that big scar on his face and uses the wind breathing. And Gyome Himejima, who is the, he almost reminded me of kind of like a monk or a priest in a way. What do you think of Gyome, by the way?
Is Gyome like the big dude that like, yeah. Almost, he reminded me of like Hagrid from Harry Potter, the very silent Hagrid, just a gentle giant in the background, doesn't seem to say a whole lot, but still wouldn't want to cross that guy on a bad day.
Badass, man. And he's the Stone Hashira. And then of course number nine, I'll let you take it away for number nine,
the Water Hashira, Giyu Tomioka.
Fucking badass, man. And of course, we're here, and Tanjiro is tied up with his hands behind his back, and they're saying, respect the Hashira. And Tanjiro is like, Hashira, what is that? And Shinobu says, this is the Demon Slayer headquarters, and you, Tanjiro Kamado, are here to be put on trial. Before we begin the trial, why don't we explain the crime you've been accused of? And Rengoku says, there is no need for a trial. Protecting a demon is a clear violation. We can deal with this on our own. We can execute them both. And Azui is like counterpart, like the two best friends here, said, in that case, I'll decapitate them with style. I'll show you how the most dramatic spray of blood ever. It'll be a spectacle. What do you think of these two guys, by the way?
I just thought they were really interesting, and that they almost both annoyed me. And that, in the fact, there was no thought process. There was no, hey, let's hear him out. It was, nah, man, that's a violation. And the guys are like, well, fuck, he says a violation. I'll do it. Let's fucking go. And like when you were explaining Tengen, I was hoping you're gonna go to his swords, because you actually even cosplayed him at one point in time, and his swords are badass. It's like one of my most favorite part about Tengen's like outfit and his getup. But yeah, I have no doubt that he would have made it flashy. Point being is, can we hear what Tanjiro's got to say? Like, can we get like an actual trial here? They're trying to jump the gun. They're trying to bring the king's justice into this without even the king being there. Like, Ubu Yashiki ain't even showed up yet. I don't know, man. But that's my thoughts on it.
No Fs were given, man. And yeah, great point. You know, he has those two katanas that are connected by the chain for his sound breathing. And we'll get into that much later in the future. But yeah, you've been on our TikTok before, guys. Remember, we're doing this for you. I know y'all have seen it before. Remember, I had to use the big ass boat chain for that one, because he, guy's no joke, man. Guy's a fucking beast. But so Mitsuri chimes in here and she says, no way they would really kill such an adorable child as him. Such a thought fills my heart with sorrow. And Guillermo says, to see such a pitiful creature, for this I grieve for him. Perhaps it would be better if he hadn't been born. And then you're kind of seeing the personality of each of them, because then Marichiro is like looking at the sky. He's like, what's the shape of that cloud again? He's like really spacey. He kind of reminds me of a stoner in a way.
Yeah, that's the exact vibes I got from him. He just is on his own little world, not a care in the world, and just vibing it out. Doesn't seem to know. Doesn't even seem like he knows why they're there. I think he saw that everyone just walked up in that one area. He's like, well, guess the bear show up here. I don't know why, but we'll just walk up and see what happens. But while I'm doing it, let's check out the grass and now the clouds. My wrist looks kind of cool today. Like, yeah, dude. I think he's very spacey, stoner-esque. I got the same vibes.
It definitely shows that sometimes talent does get you far. So, but then, so Gyome is even saying, let's end his misery. And Rengoku's like, stand it all here. Right. And Azui's backing him. Like, you know, he's his best friend here. And let's do it with flair. And Obanai then asks what should happen to Tomioka. This is what we were talking about last week. This guy, a lot of respect for him. And remember, nobody likes him. Nobody likes you, Tomioka. Obanai asks what should happen to Giyu Tomioka, and he is just as guilty as Tanjiro for defending a demon. And this is really creepy, because the snake around his mouth like hisses at Giyu. And Shinobu says, oh, I think it's fine. He did come here without resisting. Let's come up with a penalty for Giyu later. What I'm more interested in is this boy's story. He's been traveling with a demon alongside him, despite being a demon slayer himself. I wish to hear why, and I want to hear it straight from that boy's mouth. What he's done is unquestionably against the demon slayer core rules. You are aware of that, aren't you, Tanjiro Kamado? Why are you traveling with a demon? A demon slayer? Take your time. Just answer the question.
Real quick, I want to jump in here, because what the heck is Shinobu talking about? Oh, it's fine, Tomioka. You're the one that was battling him one-on-one last time we were talking about this. He was crossing swords with you. You're like, oh, no, he just came quietly. We could find a punisher him later. I don't know. Something's going on. I think Shinobu got the old hots for Tomioka on the low. That's what I think, because she was the one that was giving him the shit to begin with when they were fighting back and forth, and now she wants to push off the punishment until later. Yeah, we see where her loyalties lie, but I just want to make sure we all saw that.
Yeah, I think what she should have said is, no one likes you but me, Tomioka. But, so anyway, Shinobu gives Tanjiro an aesthetic to help him walk, because remember, he hurt his leg against Rui. And Tanjiro tells the Hashiras how Nezuko was turned into a demon while his family was slaughtered, but she never hurt anyone. But Obanai accuses Tanjiro of just defending his family because of relationship ties. And Gyome even believes that Tanjiro is possessed by a demon, because remember, he's kind of like, almost reminds me of like a priest or something, and claims that's why he's defending Nezuko. And this brings up an interesting point. Do you think demons could like possess people?
Maybe. I don't really know. I think one can. And the rest, I just haven't seen enough of their abilities to this point. It'd be hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. It brings up questions. But Tanjiro responds and tells the group he became a member and hopes to find a cure for Nezuko, and she has been a demon for almost 2 years now. Remember that, how the time has passed since the beginning already. 2 years. And Zui says, if you're going to tell your story, at least spice it up a bit. And Marichiro says, oh, what's that bird calling again? And Mitsuri chimes in, if you're traveling with a demon, I find it hard to believe that Master would have been unaware of the situation. I don't think we should act without his permission. Maybe it's best if we wait until he arrives. And Tanjiro begins to tell the Hashiras to let Nezuko be part of the Corps, and she will fight to defend humans. And Sunemi Shinazugawa picks up Nezuko's box that she's inside and says, well, well, is that the moron that brought a demon along with him? What the hell do you think you're trying to pull here exactly? Run that by me again, kid. She can fight as a demon slayer to protect humans? Is that it? Do you know what we call that? Completely impossible. And he stabs the wooden box through Nezuko with his wind-breathing green saber. Nezuko screaming, and Tanjiro gets up, hands tied behind his back, trying to run towards him. And Tanjiro says, anyone that harms my sister answers to me. I don't give a damn if you're one of the Hashira. And Sunemi rips out the sword from Nezuko and swings it in front of Tanjiro with Nezuko's blood still on it. Sunemi says, well, how very nice of you. And Tanjiro charges Sunemi, and Giyu Tomioka tries to step in the way of this and says, cease this! The master will be arriving shortly. And Sunemi swings and misses Tanjiro, and Tanjiro jumps towards Sunemi, but busts his nose when he headbutts him, knocking him to the ground, causing him to drop Nezuko's box. And we've seen this before, where Tanjiro has a gift with headbutting. What'd you think about this? Pretty ballsy move.
That was badass. This fucking idiot who's grabbing boxes and throwing knives into them without hearing what's going on, just being an asshole, just got some instant karma on his ass. He thought he was one of these big bad nine Hashira. Tanjiro, still a Mizunoto, not being able to do shit, got his arms tied behind his back, and he just got laid out on the floor by a headbutt. Get some, boy.
It was awesome. So then Tanjiro runs back over to defend Nezuko, and Obunai says, Tomioka's outburst must have been a distraction, but that boy still managed to get a blow in. And Tanjiro says, if you can't tell a difference between a good demon and bad ones, then you shouldn't be a Hashira. And Sunemi picks his sword back up and says, you no good little owl fucking... I wish he said fucking. I'll destroy you! And he holds the sword to Tanjiro's neck. And then the twins, which are really like quadruplets... Remember the twins from Mount Nadagomo, Final Selection, show up and say, the master of the mansion has returned, and Ubiashiki arrives, and all the Hashiras bow immediately. Man deserves respect. And the Hashira welcome him, and Sunemi tells him he has been praying for his good fortune and asks him to inform him about Tanjiro, who is accompanied by a demon. And Tanjiro realizes Sunemi is much more formal than before when the master arrived. And Ubiashiki says, of course. I apologize for any confusion. Tanjiro and Nezuko have both been sanctioned. I would appreciate it if you would all accept this condition. And of course, they're all freaking the fuck out. Giyome says, Master, even though this is something you have requested, I cannot bring myself to do it. Mizuki says, I am also opposed to this. A slayer traveling with a demon is unacceptable. And Mitsuri says, as for myself, I shall do whatever you wish, Master. Marichiro, once again, I'll forget anyways, so I'm fine either way. Nope, and I won't trust them. Absolutely not. I loathe demons. And Rengoku is saying, Although I respect you with all my heart, master, I cannot abide by this. I'm fully against it. And Sanemi, the asshole, once again says, the Corps' mission is to annihilate demons, and I ask that you punish Kamado and Tomioka. And Ubioshiki responds and says, ask one of the girls to read a letter. The letter the girls bring out, and it's from Uro Kodaki, the former water Hashira. And he says to Ubioshiki, I ask you to allow Tanjiro and his sister to accompany each other. Because of her resilient mental fortitude, Nezuko has not lost her human reason. Even when starved, she has never devoured a human, and that is true more than 2 years later. Although the situation sounds outlandish, it is in fact reality. In the event that Nezuko does assault another human being, myself, as well as Tanjiro Kamado and Giyu Tomioka, will atone by committing seppuku. What do you think of that, about Giyu Tomioka fucking putting his life on the line, man?
That's got to be a cause he believes in, so we really have to understand that there's something about Tanjiro and Nezuko that is more than meets the eye. I don't know what kind of feeling that everyone got from them. I mean, we see that they're more than regular humans, and obviously she is one of the only demons that we've seen to this point that has a level of a conscious. I think the only other one was probably Miss Tamio, and if you want to call Yushiro her little sidekick one too, but he's still kind of like an asshole sometimes. But Nezuko seems to be like pretty well put together all the time, and so does Miss Tamio. So it's just one of those things. They're rare at the very least, and I like I said, I do believe Tomioka has this internal feeling that there's a destiny here. And it's funny because using that word destiny, that's actually going to come up next week when I take us through the final two episodes of season one. So I just I thought that the fact that he believes so strongly in it, that if he's wrong, he's willing to kill himself, and so is Uro Kodaki. That's, you know, if you're really going to put your thought and belief behind something that strongly, like I'd have a hard time to argue with it. Like, all right, well, damn, I guess let's see how this plays out.
Same. I think Giyu doesn't get enough credit. I mean, he's very real and honest, pretty bland, but at the same time, I mean, the boy steps up to the plate for damn sure. And then Sanemi, of course, you know, he's got to make a statement here. He says, who cares how they choose to end their lives? Fire, hanging, it's all the same. It doesn't guarantee our safety. And Rengoku says, Shinazagawa is right. If she kills a human, we can't turn back the clock. That person will be lost forever. And Ubioshiki says, you do have a point. We can't guarantee that she won't attack humans. We can't prove it. That said, we also cannot be certain she will attack humans. Here is what we do know about her for certain. She has been abstinent for over 2 years, and there are three people who would vouch for her with their lives. If this evidence is rejected, one must offer in turn an even more convincing argument. Are any of you able to do so? Also, there is another thing I would like to relay to you, my children. Tanjiro has met Kibutsuji face to face. And they're all freaking out. And Uzui says, that's impossible. Not even a Hashira has ever crossed paths with him. Did you really? What did he look like? What's his powers? Where did you see him? Ryuichiro is like, did you fight? Like, finally paying attention here. And Sanemi says, what was Kibutsuji doing? Did you find his stronghold? Answer me! And Ubioshiki silences the group and tells them that Kibutsuji has sent pursuers after Tanjiro, and he believes something is happening to Nezuko, and that Kibutsuji never saw coming. And Ubioshiki says, do you agree with me now? Sanemi says, I'm afraid not. I don't. If I were human, I would be no question. If it were human, I'd be no question we'd spare it. But after all we've gone through, after losing countless of our brethren, asking us to house a demon, it's unacceptable. And Sanemi slices his arm and spills his blood across the box on Nezuko as it's leaking through the top of the box. And Sanemi says, hear me, master. The depravity, if a demon, I will prove it to you here and now. the blood is leaking through, and Tanjiro starts to break free, but still is being held back by the core. And Tsunemi says, "No need to hold back. Just show us your true colors, and then I'll destroy you right here." And Obanai says, "It's the daytime. No good doing this now. It'll only show itself in the shadows." And Tsunemi says, and looks at Ubuyoshiki, "Master, please forgive this discourtesy I'm about to commit." And he throws Nezuko in the box into the gazebo underneath the shade. And he stabs through the box again, and Nezuko's screaming. And Tanjiro screaming back, "Stop it! Stop it!" And Obanai slams Tanjiro to the floor so he can't move. And Tsunemi says, "Come on out, demon!" And stabs Nezuko again. And he says, "It's human blood you love so much." And then Tsunemi withdraws and stabs again in the box. And with his sword, Tsunemi hinges open the box. And Nezuko begins to crawl out. And Tanjiro is looking at Nezuko and just saying, "Nezuko!" Shouting her name. And Nezuko is sweating and seething at her mouth and drooling as saliva as she's just seething with anger at Tsunemi with the muzzle of bamboo on her teeth. And the episode ends. What do you think about this episode, Jay Nelly?
Yeah, it's tough because was she seething with anger or hunger? That's the big thing. But no, the takeaways from this, it was really cool to meet all of the Hashira. We've heard the name Hashira a few times throughout the series to this point, and to finally see them all at their stronghold, at their headquarters, it was really cool. And I'm glad you went through and described all of them the way you did, because they all had a very unique and creative design and aesthetic. So, and some of those are not even just for looks. Some of the things they're able to use are things that help them in battle as well. So really cool stuff there. And then this is a really interesting, probably a predicament they've never been put in before, with the whole issue of, hey, do we house this demon? Do we try to take care of it as one of our own? Or do we just get rid of it? Because our whole existence is to rid the earth of these demons. Why would we sit here and try to make peace and friends with one and invite it to stay, you know? And then on top of that, one of their own, Hashira, like Giyu Tomioka, he made the ultimate proclamation that, hey, look, if I'm wrong, no worries. I believe in myself so much that if I am wrong, I will take my samurai sword, jam it into my stomach, and kill myself. Like, so then that still wasn't enough. It was crazy that how much was not enough to convince the Hashira to let this go, that we've got to go to these crazy lengths. And Chase is going to get into it more in this next episode he's about to cover. But point being is that these are talented individuals, but they're almost like divas in a way that they just don't want to deal with anything outside of what they've always known. They think they're always right. They are very seldom questioned on things, and when they are, they don't like it. So it was really cool to kind of see the Hashira in this sort of space and in this sort of element. And we've got some really some of the Hashira, you just don't know if you can trust or not. Like this guy with the scars throwing this fox around, acting like a damn fool in front of the master of all of the Demon Slayer Corps. Is crazy, because especially in the culture of where this comes from, that's just totally obscene and disrespectful. So wild that this guy acts like this. And I don't actually totally trust this dude with the snake thing either, I'll be honest. But point being, it is cool to kind of like get an idea of what the Hashira are like. And it also goes to show for future, you know, some of the shortcomings some might have, because they may think that they have things covered when they really doesn't. But in any event, I thought the episode as a whole was good. It was a good introduction. And this is a crazy way to solve a problem. We're going to put you on trial here in front of everyone, and you're either going to make your way out of this and continue on, or you're going to die here and now. There's no third option. So, yeah, I thought as overall it was an interesting episode. Kept my attention. I liked it. And, yeah, I'll let you give your takeaways.
Yeah, you made a great point. I thought it was fucking awesome finally getting to see the Hashira for the first time. Like, I mean, we saw him last week for the first time, but to really actually kind of get a sense of who they are. It kind of reminded me of the Power Rangers in the way, like, each one kind of represents its own personality for their abilities. And just like you said, like, there's ones, I think, just like you said, that they really have a lot of pride for themselves. And it definitely, imagine this, like, they're usually sent out to take out the higher rank demons. Like, this is the first time they've been this close making a decision on a demon, much less one that's actually been brought into the fucking headquarters. Like, they're sent out to kill these things. There's no way they're bringing that shit back to the headquarters. And then now that they're hearing these stories about it, seeing Kabutsuji, some of them are really wondering if it probably is even real, because, you know, someone of that level, you know, they haven't even seen, like, he's basically a legend. It's just, like, hard for them to even grasp that. But, yeah, it, just like you said, I think you used the word perfect, for, especially for one person. Taking Azui, he's definitely a little bit of a diva for sure. And you can even see, you know, even Rengoku, like, even him, that seems like a really good guy. He's definitely strict to the rules. And yeah, just like you said, you have Obanai and Sanemi. Obanai is like holding Dondro down, and Sanemi doesn't give a fuck. He's just throwing people through walls. And so, yeah, I thought it was a great episode, man. But so now we'll jump into the next episode here. So the next episode leaves off right where we started. So Sanemi, you know, he's got the blood dripping down, and Nezuko's looking at him. Tanjiro breaks free of the ropes and runs towards Nezuko, and Nezuko sees Tanjiro and has this flashback of their journey together, and is reminded of this flashback. Uro Kodaki says, "I convinced her that all humans are family. I told her to protect them." And Nezuko pulls away and turns her head, refusing to bite Sanemi despite the blood in front of her. And Ubiyoshiki says, "There it is, undeniable proof. Tanjiro, there will still be some that will not accept Nezuko. Prove to them that you and Nezuko can be helpful to our cause by fighting as demon slayers. Go out and defeat a 12 Kizuki, and you will be accepted by all this and will carry more weight than words alone." Actions speak louder than words. And Tanjiro acknowledges this and bows and says, "All right, my sister and I will defeat Kabutsuji. Rest assured, we will strike him down and stop this endless cycle of our misery." And, like, the Hashira are, like, laughing. And I agree with them. It's like, they're like, what? Like, what'd you think of this moment?
I think that you had a hell of a hard time taking out lower five Demon Rui. That almost killed you. And now you want to go after Big Daddy Kabutsuji? Well, where is your head at, my man? You haven't even fought one of the upper ranks, and you fought a mid-level lower rank, not even the top of the lower rank. And if Giyu Tomioka wasn't there, he was dead. Sorry, he was dead. He was going to die. You had that really cool moment where he used a Hinokami Kagura. You looked like you cut his head off, but the demon was ahead of you, cut his own head off with the threads. You couldn't even take this guy out, but you want to go right to the top of the food chain? I don't know, my man.
I think he nailed it, because then Ubiyoshiki says, "That is a bit ambitious for you two. Let's start by defeating a 12 Kizuki first." It goes without saying that the Hashira of the Demon Slayer Corps have phenomenal skills. They have trained themselves to the brink of death and have defeated it, as well as those of the 12 Kizuki. That is why the Hashira receive respect and favorable treatment. So it would be best for you to show them respect and mind your manners when addressing them, Tanjiro. Sanemi and Obanai, do not torment the younger ones too much. And Sanemi and Obanai respond and say, "Yes, master." And Shinobu volunteers to train Tanjiro and take him under her wing, and Tanjiro tells the group that he should be allowed to headbutt Sanemi one time for every time he stabbed Nezuko. And Ubushiki says, Tanjiro, give Tamayo my regards. And all I'll say here is foreshadowing. Just always remember that. But then Tanjiro is taken to the Butterfly Mansion to train, which is where Shinobu, like her kind of home is, her headquarters here. And Tanjiro encounters Kaneo at the Butterfly Mansion, which kind of takes us back a little bit to our talk last week. What'd you think of this?
Thought that's her in her natural habitat. What was she doing on the mountain not fighting no demons? So I'm glad that she was at least doing something over here and about to get involved at the very least, instead of just trying to put her name on the paper and get the A.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But so at this point, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Tanjiro finds out that Kaneo is a Sugoku, and is a Sugoku is a swordsman trained by a Hashira. So as I was talking about last week, Kaneo is almost like, in this position, almost like a Obi-Wan Kenobi to Qui-Gon Jinn, or Anakin Skywalker to Obi-Wan. So my opinion would be that, of course, she took her along because she was like, get your ass on this mission with me. What are your thoughts on that?
That's probably exactly what happened, because we're going to learn more about her. I don't want to give anything away too fast, but she doesn't always make her own choices. I'll say that at the very least. So, yeah, she would probably played tag along, but she was just fine following the directions of what? What direction? Because actually, no, that brings up a great question. I'm so glad you just said that, because if we're going to just talk about this for a second, it's hard because we're going to find out more about Kaneo's backstory more next week than we are here today. But knowing what we know, who the heck told her to do that? And that, what I mean by that is, when we're back in the mountain with Rui and the rest of the demon family, Shinobu, what was she going to tell her? Like, what's she going to say? Kill the rest of the demons you find? Maybe. But that would that have included a demon that was being carried by a human? I don't know. So regardless, I don't know what the hell she was doing there.
I mean, that's a good point. Well, I mean, I still think you got to make it through final selection, but I mean, she's clearly sword skilled, so I can see why she made it out.
Well, I'm glad she's sword skilled. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, in this whole thing, if you're a demon slayer, what's your main goal? To kill demons. What was this girl doing? She was just sitting around doing nothing, playing patty cake, until Tanjiro and Nezuko are running along, and then she trips him and tries to take him out when Tomioka's trying to hold off Shinobu from coming after him. I didn't hear Shinobu make any sort of contact to anyone and say, hey, chase that guy in the checkered fucking cloak. No. What if she didn't say nothing to nobody? All of a sudden, that girl just knew where to be to take down Tanjiro and try to take out Nezuko? I don't know. Buy it, man.
You raise a good point. That's all I'll say. I think she, just like you said, she has trouble making her own decisions. Maybe she just wound up there. You raise a really good point. I just don't want to give things away, but I agree with you. I think she kind of just wound up there. But back to it. So then at this point, the core member who we know is Aoi, or what's it? Is that how you say it? Aoi?
Yeah. Aoi, yeah, you got it right.
Aoi. So she leads Tanjiro up and asks Kaneo if they can enter the mansion. And Kaneo doesn't respond, but another girl member approaches and then takes them inside. And that's kind of a big moment. So just remember that. But then my boy is there, Zenitsu. He's inside. He's complaining about his medicine. He's like, you want me to take this for 5 months and I'm going to starve because all I'm eating is medicine? I won't eat a thing. Then he's still complaining. He's like, Tanjiro, I got bit by a spider and it really hurt. And all this girl's been doing is yelling at me and I haven't gotten any food. And all I've gotten is medicine for 6 months and I'm going to starve. And then he's getting smaller because of the poison that he had. Because remember, he started to shrink to become a spider. Ninosuke is next to Zenitsu in the hospital bed, and his voice is damaged. Because remember, he was getting crushed by, like, the father spider. And Zenitsu says, the entire thing's kind of funny. Because, like, Inosuke can't talk. And Tanjiro says, Zenitsu and Inosuke, you're alive. I'm so glad. And it's like this big reunion. And Tanjiro lets Nezuko out of the box and thanks Nezuko for protecting him. Nezuko falls asleep, and Tanjiro wonders more about the day that's happened in Ubiyoshiki, and Ubiyoshiki then tells the Hashira back where he's at that they must bolster the ranks of the Demon Slayer Corps, and like they've gotten weaker. What'd you think about this? That was a big, kind of a big moment here.
Yeah, and that's exactly kind of goes into what we were talking about with Ubiyoshiki just sending battalions in and getting them slaughtered. They're running low on the core, man. Let's get some fucking good strategy going.
Yeah, man, for sure. Got weak sauce. And so Sanemi, of course, you know, he always wants to take the lead, tells the group that the caliber of slayers has dropped tremendously recently. And Uzui Tengen says that kid today packed a lot of power. He landed that dazzling blow on you. He's got potential. Foreshadowing, but once again, you know, commending Tanjiro on his headbutts. And Rengoku says, considering that this boy, soon after joining, encountered a 12 Kizuki, I think he can draw them out. Even we rarely get a chance to confront one. I am envious. And Ubiyoshiki says, a fair point, but the fact that a lower 5 demon made such a drastic move likely means Kibutsuji is far from Mount Nadagomu. Like with Asagusa, whenever he wishes to hide something and proceeds to create a clever diversion to throw us off his trail. To be honest, it's quite frustrating. But as long as those demons linger, they do now, freely devouring humans and gaining strength as a result. There's only one thing for us to do in regards to Kibutsuji. For the sake of those who have died, I feel you who are present today, the core of the Hashira, are the finest I have ever assembled since the first breathing swordsmen of the feudal era. Tengen Uzui, Kaiojiro Rengoku, Shinobu Kocho, Mitsuri Kanroji, Muichiro Tokido, Giyome Himejima, Sanemi Shinazagawa, Iguru Obanai, and Giyu Tomioka, my beloved children, I look forward to seeing your success. Muzan Kibutsuji, I swear I will defeat you. We will bring you down without fail. And that's the end of the episode.
Dad, that's a sick episode. More than anything, it was just informational and background. It was kind of a dip in the excitement level, but a lot of stuff that you need to know. Like we had mentioned, the number of the Demon Slayer Corps has dwindled. The abilities of the Demon Slayer Corps has dropped drastically as well. So we don't really have a whole lot of all-stars left on the field. You know, we only have these 9 Hashira and maybe a handful of promising Demon Slayers that are up and coming, can now be in one. Zenitsu, Tanjiro, Inosuke, maybe a couple others that will pick up along the way. Who knows? But point being is, we know that at the very least, there's 12 badasses on the other side of the field that we've got to deal with. And to be fair, to this point, and all the other Mizunoto Demon Slayers facing regular demons, they're hard enough as it is. Remember Tanjiro, obviously Tanjiro's made progress since that day, but he was having a hell of a time against the drum demon. You know, he was getting bounced around that house, had a broken ribs, broken leg, you know, all this stuff. So like, the other team ain't going anywhere, and they're just getting stronger. So it was really cool information, and you really see that Ubiyoshiki has this end-all, be-all goal of we will do everything it takes to take down Muzan Kibutsuji. That is his life's mission, his life's goal. And we still don't have too much of a background on Kibutsuji yet, but everything we do know about this guy is just all fucking bad news. So the fact that this guy really assembled an entire unit, an entire organization with the sole purpose of defeating this guy, you know, there's got to be a lot more that goes on to it behind the scenes and things that will probably be revealed later on. So like I said, I think this episode was good overall, a little bit slower than I typically enjoy episodes, but I still liked it because there's a lot of need to know information on a go forwards basis.
Yeah, same. I thought it was really cool. In my opinion, I think it was really big of Ubi Oshiki to, you know, really speak in that moment to look at his flaws and realize, hey, we're not the best here. Because just like, you know, we were saying earlier in this episode, some of the Hashiras are kind of like divas. And you take a talent of that level with nine of them, and you are starting to think, hey, fuck, like, we're about to win the Super Bowl. But it really does take a coach like that to step back and realize, hey, you know, we got one of the best teams assembled, but we ain't got nothing in the bag yet. And I think it's a big moment there. And I like how you're kind of finding more about the Hashiras and their perspective on things. But also it showed, too, you know, these guys really do respect him. Like, I mean, for the ones that are the nine that are divas, yeah, they make their own questions. However, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, that motherfucker says jump, you say how high. And that's exactly what happens. And I thought it was great. You got to see a little bit more into the Butterfly Mansion. And my boy Zenitsu's back. The ladies' man. Not going to have any problems with all those ladies in the Butterfly Mansion, if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? So, I thought it was badass. So we'll get back to it. Yeah, we got one more for today. This will be the last episode for today. So Rengoku is telling Shinobu that he got new intel on a demon and the slayer that found it was killed. And Shinobu says, could it be a 12 Kizuki? And Rengoku says, most likely, maybe an upper rank. Remember that. Just, that's all I'm going to say. And Shinobu says, it sounds like a difficult mission, but as long as you're going, Rengoku, we don't have to worry. Ironic. That's all I'll say. And Rengoku says, what's the plan? Taking that headbutting kid in you, in with you? You had mentioned recruiting more Sagoko, but I don't think that's the reason. And Shinobu says, you seem concerned. You don't think I'm going to gobble him up, do you? And Rengoku says, of course I don't. Ha ha ha. Typical. And what's funny is you think I'm exaggerating. This is exactly how he sounds, right, Jay Nelly?
Yeah, no, it really is. Because when I was I didn't want to give it away yet because it comes up in the next season, I guess the next season and a half of Demon Slayer. But there's a ridiculous sentence that or word that Rengoku keeps saying over and over again in a certain scene. And yeah, he talks just like that. He's not exaggerating. It's almost word for word and monotone for monotone, exactly what he sounds like.
He kind of reminds me, what do you think of Rengoku? It kind of reminds me of, like, not a bad guy, like, has a really good heart, but like a typical military man.
You know who he reminds me of, dude? He reminds me of Hercule from Dragon Ball Z.
He kind of does, yeah. If Hercule met Hercules, that's kind of what you have.
I like that. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, man. So back to it. So Shinobu just says, do be careful. And then Zenitsu's complaining again. My boy Zenitsu. And at this point, then Murata, remember I mentioned Murata back in Mount Nadagomo, he appears and he survived after all that time. And he reports that the Hashira were talking about how the quality of the Demon Slayer Corps has gone downhill. And back to Shinobu, she comes in and enters and tells Tanjiro and Inosuke that they can start their rehabilitation training to rebuild their strength. Why Zenitsu continues to regrow his limbs because he was turning into a spider. And Tanjiro and Inosuke come back the next day after training and doing this rehabilitation training and are exhausted and go straight to sleep. And Zenitsu freaks out. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. I don't want to go. And The first step in this training is they do this limber flexibility training, and the girls like stretch him out. That's at this butterfly mansion for the both of them. And then they do reflex training where they throw water in their face and try to grab the cup before the girls grab it and throw it at him. And then the third step is full body training, which is actually a game of tag. And they try to catch the girls by playing tag. And then, Zenitsu says, "You come in with me, little urchins. I got an earful for you. Sit up straight, you miserable bastards. You're acting like you came back from a fucking place of hell." No, fucking. "Came back from a place of hell when you were in paradise. How is it that you come in looking all haggard like? You apologize right now. How is it, you miserable, touching all those beautiful girls all day, and you get to touch them during that cup game? I feel bad for you, you miserable Inosuke poor boy. You grew up in the ugly-ass mountains, and you don't even know what a girl is. Apologize right now." And you think I'm kidding. That's exactly how he sounded. Did he not, Jay Nelly?
Yeah, no. Didn't know if I was listening to Chase or listening to Zenitsu on the TV.
Zenitsu grabs, comes into the training the next day, all excited. He goes, "I look forward to training with you ladies." And he grabs the cup and refuses it to throw it in the first girl's face, who is Aoi, Ioi, or whatever her name is. How do you pronounce her name?
Aoi.
Aoi. And then Zenitsu passes full body training with flying colors and darts all around. And then Tanjiro and Inosuke continue to lose the cup game to Kanoe. How do you say your name? Kanoe?
Oh, wow. We had it earlier. Kanao.
Kanao.
Kanao? I don't know.
Kanao, yeah. And they're all like so shocked that Zenitsu has already passed all the tests. The three girls ask Tanjiro if he uses total concentration breathing all the time, and doing that all the time really will make a difference. And the Hashira and Kano have already mastered this. And then Inosuke feels sorry for himself, and Tanjiro tries to convince him and Zenitsu to go back to training, and Zenitsu just asks the other girls to have tea with him instead of like trying to pass one of the final tests. And Tanjiro is working on his breathing and has to blow into these small gourds that they've given him to work on this. And the girls tell Tanjiro that Kano exploded the gourds, and the one she exploded was massive, like this huge gourd. And Tanjiro, after hard training, increases his lungs and stamina and recalls that they are reforging his sword that was broke. And then Shinobu comes and appears the next day and is actually on the roof as Tanjiro is practicing his meditation and breathing. And Tanjiro asks Shinobu, like, why she brought him there and what she sees in him. And Shinobu says, "Nezuko's presence is no longer considered taboo, and the three of you had been terribly injured. Additionally, if I could, I'd like to entrust a dream of mine to you, that we can befriend the demons. I'm sure you can accomplish that." And Tanjiro says, "Are you angry for some reason? I can always pick up a scent of anger, even though you're always smiling." Shinobu says, "Yes, you are correct. It may be that I'm constantly angry. My beloved older sister was slaughtered by a demon. I see the mournful tears of others who've lost their loved ones in the same way. I hear their loud cries of despair, and each time I do, the anguish inside me grows larger. In the innermost depths of my soul, there's a hatred that I can't fight. I'm sure the other Hashiras feel something similar, but now, with their own eyes, they've seen a demon who's never devoured a human. They can't deny her existence. Due to the master's wishes, I don't believe anyone will raise a hand to Nezuko. My sister was a kind-hearted person like you. She had sympathy for demons, even though when she was on the brink of death, that didn't even change. I couldn't bring myself to feel that way. To do so for something that's killed us, I never heard of such nonsense. But if that was how my sister truly felt, then I must carry it on if there's a way not to kill these pitiful demons. I have to keep trying to find it while keeping the smile my sister had that she loved so much. I have to admit, I'm rather tired. Demons do nothing but lie. They only fight to survive and murder us, and do so without any shred of humanity. Tondro, please do all you can protecting your sister until the end. Knowing that you're working hard to carry out what I cannot warms my heart. I can rest easy now. You've stopped your total concentration breathing, and then a flashback scene of Shinobu holding her dead older sister with blood coming out of her mouth is shown in her in tears over her sister. And then Tanjiro closes his eyes and says, "Focus. Total concentration breathing. Mother, Hinako, Takeo, Shigeru, Rokuda, remembering all his family, slaughtered, just like in episode one." He says, "I will turn Nezuko back into a human," and the episode ends. What did you think about that episode, Gianelli?
I also thought this was another on the slower end episode. We've got the aftermath of they're going to be in, what do you call it? They're trying to recovery training, basically. They've had one hell of a battle to get to where they are now at Mount Natagumo. Like the Rui and the spider family almost took them all out. Obviously, the father demon almost killed Inosuke. Zenitsu got bit by the elder brother demon. It almost turned into a spider. Tanjiro broke probably every damn bone in his body. Sword's broken. These guys are a mess. So obviously, you know, we got this sort of, we got a rehabilitation training. That's what word I was looking for. So now we got to rehab all these injuries, get back to it. It's like a bigger scale of that one time where they found the elderly lady in the woods with the wisteria like marking on her house, signifying that it was a safe house for demon slayers. It's like that, but like at a bigger scale, because obviously their injuries are much more severe. A lot more bad shit happens. And I also thought it was cool that we get a small snippet of a backstory on Shinobu and how her sister, who is named Kanei, and it's very interesting because we'll learn a little bit more later on about the one who hasn't said any words just yet, Kaneo. There's a little correlation of the names there. But point being is that it's really cool to get a little bit of a backstory on one of the Hashira, and we'll start seeing that as we follow each Hashira on certain missions, and when we get a little bit of one-on-one time with them, we'll see a little openings in almost the antithesis of where we see the demons when they die get a little bit of a backstory of what brought them to becoming a demon in the first place, of either having like weaker feeling health, or you know, someone making them so mad and feeling so alone and miserable to the point that they wanted strength to fight back, whatever it may be. We're kind of we'll start getting that, but on the protagonist side with the Hashira. And so it was nice to see it started there with Shinobu. And then, you know, with Zenitsu's a wild person there, just freaking out, screaming every time there's a girl involved that he's not a part of in the room, freaking out on him. But I also found it interesting that you start to see another side of Inosuke, of him. It's almost as if he's lost certainty in himself. He's not as sure of himself as he was before, when he realized, you know, he can't take on these big demons the way he thought he'd be able to just by brute strength, not thinking about anything. And just like Tanjiro, his swords are broken too. And it's just, I mean, now what we're doing is we're starting to work our way back to a base level, and ideally from that base level progress, almost like that hyperbolic time chamber in Dragon Ball Z. You get in there, do some training, all of a sudden you come out and you're this new supercharged version of yourself. And that's kind of what we're starting. We're at the very beginning stages of that right here in the first few days of the rehabilitation training. And it's nice to see that our Demon Slayer core friend Murata did make it after all, and He came back in, said, hey, what's up, hello, and then he dipped the hell out. But anyways, no, I thought the episode as a whole, again, slower just like last episode, but you know, it wasn't unwatchable. It wasn't my favorite. I liked it for what it was, and you know, I do know that it ties in really well to the next sequence of events that will lead up to some cool shit later on.
Yeah, man. Sit your pretty ass, Rossi Nitsu's on the floor. Yeah. I thought it was good. It was good. It, like, just like you said, it wasn't like my favorite of all time ever or anything, but it was cool. I mean, definitely pay attention to that beginning there with Rengoku. You got some foreshadowing there, just like a little bit of light moments there. And Shinobu, I really love that you got to see into her past and kind of what makes her tick. Because, you know, I think that's kind of one of those things, is she's kind of one of those people or characters in a way. It's like she's got her own inner demons. Like, you think she's this such a nice, fluffy kind of person all the time, but really you see what kind of drives her. And in the end, Zenitsu's the MVP of this episode, man. He was in the, oh, it is ladies' night, so what a night. He was whipping ass in that training. That's my fucking guy. It was great. He's going to kick some ass. I mean, really all you needed was Zenitsu anyways. I don't know why Shinobu took on the other two. I mean, he is really all you needed. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. What debates did you have for the day, Jay Nelly?
It's funny because my debate actually had to do exactly with that. And you know, the fact that you said it was funny, I was going to ask you who you thought so far the leader in the leaderboard of the three, like who's gotten the farthest in the rehabilitation training. And obviously my answer to that debate was going to be Zenitsu, because he was able to accomplish all the things. And but the way he did it, it was just so weird, because obviously he didn't do it because he was skilled. He did it because he was showing off for the girls. It seems like in two circumstances, Zenitsu goes outside of himself and he's at like the top of his fucking game. It's when there's pretty girls around him, or it's when he's asleep. But when he's just normal and like trying to shoot the shit, he's the fucking worst. I can't stand him. When he screech talks like that, half the time I can't stand when Chase does it, just because I hear it so much on the dang TV. I'm like, oh, I had to get away from that. And Chase does it to me, I'm like, ugh. So like, but the point being is, like, on the regular, Zenitsu is so I don't want to say forgettable, but just non-impressive. And then randomly, in these Hashira-level trainings, he's like, oh, no problem. I got these tasks. I got it. No problem. Grab your hand. Now we're holding hands. Like, what, dude? Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, oh, stretch me out, girl. Oh, yeah, I can put my leg all the way over here. No problem. Like, it's all good. I don't know. It was just wild. So, yes, it's silly because I don't even know if we need to even have the debate now. It seems like we agree on the MVP of the episode. So I guess I'll let you kind of go into your debate there while I think of another one before we get out of here.
One thing I want to talk about too, think of this. This is one thing I really do appreciate with Demon Slayer. And you kind of brought up like the hyperbolic time chamber thing. They really do let it sink in. Like, these guys have to recover. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we just saw Inosuke and Zenitsu's there. It's been a few weeks. They're fine. Like, no, like Zenitsu's over here drinking Skelegrow from Harry Potter, like regrowing his limbs again, and Inosuke has no vocal cords where his head got smashed in from a couple weeks ago. You know, like, that's one thing I really do appreciate, is they really truly make you feel like, you know, like, this is going to take some time. Like, it's not like they're just, hey, we're healed again, here we are. I guess my debate for the day that I would say is, what do you think? Do you think Shinobu took in Tanjiro because she saw something special with like maybe that headbutt that he did? Or do you think it was more of something like because of Giyu stuck up for him and how they see so different? Why do you think it was Shinobu that stepped up to the plate out of all these Hashira first to take Tanjiro under her, ironically, the wing, butterfly wing?
because she was the first motherfucker to try to kill Nezuko. She probably felt guilty as shit. She like realized afterwards when she got the proof that all the Hashira got that Nezuko was never going to harm a human, when the blood was dripping down from the asshole's arm and she had the mouth drool and everything, and she still was able to stay away from the blood and maintain her composure. She was probably like, oh shit, I almost killed that thing. That's my bad. Like, ah, we better make up for that. Sorry, Tanjiro. I know I was gonna, you know, murder your sister, so let me make it up to you and make you a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, and really, really kind of boost you up to the next level. I think it was a mea culpa on Shinobu's fault for trying to kill Nezuko in the first place.
That's probably a good point. I didn't even really think of that. I wonder if it was Ubiya Shiki. I mean, this is never even really explained. It's a great wonder. I wonder if Ubiya Shiki was like, hey, Giyu stuck up for him, and, you know, we know you don't like Giyu, so we need him to see, like, the other side of things as well. Maybe you should tell him why we don't like Giyu. Go ahead and train him a little bit. But I don't know. I think she sees something in him. I mean, the same thing, just like you said. I think it's because, you know, her sister was killed by a demon and she wants to have appreciation for demons and see the other side of things. And she saw that in Tanjiro. But I guess that's probably why. And to answer your question from earlier, yeah, of course I'm going to put Zenitsu at the top because, one, he conquered the training. Two, he's, you know, he's just got so many talents. He's mastered the one form sixfold, and all you need to do is master one when you can whip ass like that. And he kicks demon ass in his sleep. He doesn't even have to be awake. Imagine what he would do if he was awake and wasn't scared. Who knows? Who knows? And data loser, level loser. They ain't no loser here with Zenitsu for sure. So that's my thoughts.
All right. I'll just let Chase have his moment there with Zenitsu because it's one of the very few times this guy shows up big. So, you know, it's fine. We'll let him have it. Now I'm going to transition into an alternate debate just because I feel as if it was already kind of brought up and we are kind of on the same side on it here. So I want to ask you, obviously, right now, here where we stand today in this episode specifically, the very last one we just covered, Kanao is obviously leaps and bounds ahead of Tanjiro, Zenitsu, and Inosuke. It's not really their fault. She's been trained directly by Shinobu for who knows how long, maybe since Final Selection, or maybe even before Final Selection, because obviously we see later on exactly how Kanao came to be under Shinobu's butterfly wing in the first place. So it's obviously before Final Selection, well before. So she's been getting trained by Shinobu for so long. I guess my question to you is, do you think Tanjiro, Zenitsu, and Inosuke are all going to be able to catch and surpass her in ability? Or do you think that she's always going to be a step ahead of most of them? Maybe, obviously, we're just going to call a spade. Tanjiro's the main character. We're going to assume this dude's going to end up being a badass, maybe one of the best badasses of all time by the time the series comes to a close. But do you think that she'll always have a leg up on even the other ones like Zenitsu and Inosuke? Or do you think they'll be able to catch her and eventually surpass her?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I think there's one person that can give her a run for her money, and I think it's Zenitsu. But the problem I have with Inosuke is it's kind of like what you see is what you get. Like, I mean, I think he definitely will grow and develop more. But, I mean, Kanao was trained by a Hashira. It's tough to say. I would probably say Zenitsu because of his style of breathing. Because there's something that goes with that. You know, thunder breathing is, I would choose, me personally, it all depends on what you kind of prefer. I would prefer thunder breathing over insect breathing because I feel like it's a more powerful form. Now, the issue Zenitsu has is he's only mastered one form of it. So It's tough to say. I'd say they probably get about to the same level, but in the end, yeah, I would say because of potential, I'd probably put Zenitsu as the one that can do it over Inosuke. What are your thoughts?
It's a hard one, and the reason I say this is because knowing what you and I know of watching the series all the way through to where it's at right now in real life, we do know that Kanao's been training for quite some time with Shinobu. Like childhood time. I don't want, you know, so point being is if you're around the Hashira for that long, you're obviously gonna have a massive advantage to three individuals who just waltzed in there, barely surviving the battle with lower five Kizuki. And I don't know how many years training can match up to whatever level training they're about to get here. We're talking about Zenitsu, Inosuke, and Tanjiro. Whatever level of training they're going to get before they get boosted onto their next mission. It's just, I think that Inosuke, Zenitsu, and Tanjiro are going to be thrown into more fires against harder competition more often. And because of that, I think that's going to elevate them naturally. And they will all likely end up passing Kanao in ability and just overall prowess as a Demon Slayer, just simply for the fact that they get thrown into the hardest and hottest fires early and often, where we've not really seen Kanao in any similar situation, at least at this point. And even with her backstory, we still don't know, has she fought any demon? What demons has she fought? Has it been any of the 12 Kizuki before? We do know, we learn a little bit later on that some, we actually do know from before that you can be a 12 Kizuki member then get bumped down if you're not doing your shit right. So, you know, with them coming in and out, has she ever killed one? Has she ever fought one? So there's a lot we don't know about Kanao right here as we speak, but I think that is the biggest key is, what level of competition has she faced? Because she can be the best fucking player on the practice field, but when it comes to game time, if she can't play against the level of competition, what good are you? You know what I mean? So I think just because of the level of competition we consistently see Inosuke, Tanjiro, and Zenitsu face now and in the future, they'll probably just naturally progress further along.
Yeah. This is a tough one to answer because of where we're at this point in time. And that's all I'll kind of say. I think the person that's going to give her a run for her money is Zenitsu. But I'm not giving anything away, and we'll get into this years from now. But I've read the manga, and there's one thing that happens much later on that can play a significant role. However, I wish we got to see more about her journey on the way. But Zenitsu definitely has a lot of potential. So I see what you're saying. But my issue with that is, it's hard to kind of say, because that's kind of like in Harry Potter. Like, that's saying, like, Cho Chang never went up against anyone. Well, what the fuck do we know about Cho Chang? Like, I mean, it's kind of like that. Like, we know she was on the Ravenclaw Quidditch team, so she's got to be pretty fucking good. But, like, it's kind of hard to say, like, what she's done. So, but I do... It's a very close. It's very close.
I mean, it is comparable, right? Because you've got one person that stays nonstop training with the Hashira since a very young age. And then you got three people who have been fighting demons since they became Demon Slayers, go to the Hashira for a short amount of time, then continue on their mission. So it is very comparable of, like, what's the better and what gets you more bang for your buck of those two methods of training, right? Is it, you know, so you're staying here at headquarters and learning everything you can from all the Hashira and learning all these techniques and whooping some ass here on the training field? Or is it like fucking trial by fire out there in the field, whooping some demons' asses and killing them and just, you know, boosting yourself up and understanding, you know, the level you're gaining as you're taking these higher levels out and growing forward. So it's definitely a comparable statistic. It's just, you know, which one do we think is most effective? And because of what we think is most effective, who do we think ends up being, you know, further along down the road? And like you said, you know, I've not read the manga, so I don't know what ends up happening later on down the line. But as we stand here today, that would just be my guess of, like, I've not seen can now really take out anything on her own or really consistently. But I do damn well see Zenitsu, Inosuke, and Tanjiro always fighting some motherfucker. So that's the only thing I can say on that.
Yeah. So I got one more debate before we close. And it's not really a debate. It's more of an opinion. So I know Giyu Tomioka is your guy. Just like I have a couple of them that are like my boys as Hashiras. But based on if you could take anyone with you, not based on like the one you like the most, but maybe based on what you think you might face in the future or the one you would mesh with best on the road for your personality. If you had to go on a mission with a Hashira for a month, and you had your choice out of any of them, but you're about to take on whoever it is, possibly die, but you also got to get along with this person for a month, who are you taking with you out of all nine Hashira? You get your choice.
Shit. That's a good one, man. I think that Giyu's silence would be annoying for me after a while. I definitely know he's capable. He's shown that. But I just don't know his level of teamwork or if he'd even be fun to be around. At the very least, I'd know we'll probably be able to handle whatever if it comes our way. On the other side there, I think that there's a few that have cool personalities that are funny, but like seeing what I've seen on screen, I'm like, I don't know. So realistically, this is actually a really hard question. Yeah, if I've got to take one of the nine Hashira, you know, I'm taking the stoner guy. Stoner guy because he's got some secret hidden abilities that we're going to find out later on. He's a badass in his own right, and he's chill as fuck. He ain't ever going to argue with you, and he's just chilling out, hanging out, maxing, relaxing, all cool like Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So I'm going with my guy, the stoner Hashira.
Maritro Tokido. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, that one. That's my guy.
And, much later on, we get to see, I mean, that's a good one. That is stoner. He's not weak by all means. That's good, man. I don't know. That's tough. Out of all nine. See, at first when you said the stoner, I was thinking like the stone Hashira, the preacher man. But yeah, no, that was actually really, really good. Man, this is a tough one. I was thinking about taking Mitsuri, but like I don't want to fall in love either and imagine what a bad relationship could turn out to be in a month. Like I could see that going really bad. Like it could go really bad. And then she stabs you in your sleep while you're already getting attacked. It's bad news bears, man. That's she already eats all the food. I gotta do it, man. People are gonna blame me for this because they're gonna be like, ah, it was just because you're a fucking boy. And no, it's not Tengen Azui, and I like Tengen Azui probably the most, but Kaiojiro Rengoku, I'm the fucking Targaryen on this fucking show, baby. He's my guy. He likes to tell jokes that aren't funny, so I'd probably laugh at it, and you know, he can start a fire. We didn't start the fire. Yeah, so I gotta go with Kaiojiro, but we'll see. Maybe I'll change my mind later on. I'm gonna ask you at the end of all this big arcs we do if you'd ever change your mind, but I think that's who I'm going with. I'm thinking I'd go with Rengoku on this one.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun. That was a good little question there. I like that. All right, yeah, folks. Well, if this is the first time that you've tuned into this, we really hope you enjoy what you heard and you stick around. And if you've been with us since the very beginning, thank you for continuously being the shields that guard the realms of fantasy. If you're looking to where you can find us online, we are on all the social sites. We're on Instagram at Official Ridiculous Patronus. We're on TikTok at Ridiculous Patronus. We have a backup Instagram at @fact_or_fantasy, a backup TikTok at @fact_or_fantasy. We're on Facebook fan page, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy, RP Factor Fantasy for Twitter, RP Factor Fantasy for Snapchat, and we do have our own website, ridiculouspatronus.blogspot.com. So please click like, subscribe, leave written reviews, leave star ratings, comment on the posts. All of the audience engagement is very important to hear us here on the show, so please continue to do so. And for those who are looking to find where you can listen to the podcast itself, if you're an Apple user, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. If you're an Android user, you can find us on Google Play. We're also on Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Acast, our host site Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. Chase and Josh, Factor Fantasy, are there. But we are out for the day because this has been another ridiculous production.
Chase and Josh,
Factor Fantasy, signing off.